the meeting to order. It's 2 o'clock, or actually maybe half a minute before, so we're right on time. First of all, the consent agenda, that it includes approval of the agenda and approval of the minutes from our last meeting. Before we approve the agenda, Marty told me that he'll need to leave at 2:45.
Yes.
Is there anything you would like to change in the order of the agenda to have you look at sooner?
Later?
Like maybe would you like the discussion consideration of Crestview Mobile Home Park moved up?
Yes, because as you're looking at a policy identification of what the county has done here on distracted driving, on license and insurance, violence in the workplace and everything, that can wait till the end. That's okay. Really, yes, if you would like to bring that to the fore, I would appreciate if you would rearrange the agenda to reflect my meeting schedule. Thank you.
All right. If there is no objections, I would like to move 5.1 up right after the public forum. Okay. Any objection?
None.
All right. So we'll move that up. Okay. Other than that, so we have that change in the agenda, and then any approval of the minutes. I need a motion to approve the new agenda and the minutes.
So moved.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All those opposed? Very good. Okay, now this is a public forum. This is a time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Board of Health. Does anyone wish to speak? Nope. Okay, and we move on. We will now talk about the 5.1, discussion and consideration of Crestview Mobile Home Park and water testing. Matt Corey.
Afternoon,
thank you very
Matt.
Much. And is Mr. Lemire here?
I just spoke to him on the phone, and I told him there wasn't anything overly controversial. He wanted to know if he should come. I said it's his choice, obviously.
Okay. I would like him to come, if he ever asks you again.
Okay.
I think because we seem to always discuss his mobile home park, and
okay.
I think I would really...
You want him here? So
yeah, I mean, this time's fine, but I personally would think he should be here.
Okay.
So if you ever have that opportunity again.
Okay.
All right. So, okay, Matt.
I did collect 3 bacteria samples the previous 3 weeks. They all did return negative for bacteria. 2 of the 3 I did chlorine sample also the second time. There was equipment malfunction.
There's what?
Equipment malfunction. Wow. So I did it on the second time, but the chlorine residuals were fine both times that I did test. I think the first one was the total chlorine was like 3.5. The second time was like 1.5.
So on our last meeting, we talked about the boil order, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so do we have enough samples to remove the boil order right now?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
That's progress.
Yeah. Well, it's one thing. So I think we'll probably need a motion to remove the boil order.
I move to remove the boil order from Crestview Mobile Home Park.
Good. Second.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussions or questions about that?
So is this at that point we will no longer be in a monitoring posture towards this facility with removal of this?
That's up to you.
I would just ask that that which was could become that which might be. And I would like to leave ourselves the tether that we could revisit this, you know, at a time of our choosing. Or at least have that discussion. Just, I would put it out there for the fact that things change here. It's a fluid environment.
Right. So, in other words, what you're saying is we should continue monitoring.
Well, I would defer to the... suggestion that we just heard. Margaret, would you like to speak to this discussion?
Yes, please. I would like the opportunity to do random sampling for bacteria and once in a while migrate. Like once a month migrate also.
Okay. That's good to me.
Okay.
That's once again, it's just like my suspicion is the fact that after a year plus of this facility being at the forefront of this board, that quite possibly, maybe, we haven't got to the point where I would have comfort divesting myself of responsibility of it. So,
okay. Sounds good to me. So the motion should now read that the boil order will be lifted with the option of us doing random water, bacteria, and chlorine sampling at the discretion of the Environmental Health Department.
I have comfort in them doing that on our behalf.
Is that so reasonable?
Yeah.
Okay. So I need a
second?
Motion. I need a motion for that.
I can amend mine, correct? So I move that we remove the boil order at Crestview Mobile Home Park with the option to continue random chlorine and bacteria sampling of the water.
And second.
I'll second.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I think we just had it.
Okay. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Great. Great.
Thank
so
you.
That's taken care of. Now, YSS, can you send?
Good afternoon. I need sorry.
Okay. Let me think about it.
Thank you.
Oops. No, you think that should be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
All right, we're going to do this one at a time.
Every day is Christmas.
There it is. Pass that down and keep moving.
So it'll give you about 20 minutes to figure all that out. That's a lot of paper. Some of which you actually have a copy of one of those already. So you were sent several documents. One was just our regular prevention report, and it says as of December. We're always about a month behind with that, and the report that I gave you is the what we put together for our prevention policy board. It is just an ongoing sort of laundry list of all the things that we're doing. One of the things that I don't know is included in there is the fact that several staff at YSS are now involved in an opioid task force that has come together in Story County with a number of professionals, people in treatment, law enforcement, representatives from both senators' offices have been coming, but it's a group of people who have come together to look at what the opioid situation is in Story County. And so at this point, the group actually doesn't have a goal per se. They're looking at the data. So all these people are coming together saying, okay, this is if they're in law enforcement, this is how many arrests we've had for opioid sorts of infractions. This is how many people we're seeing in treatment, those kinds of things. So we're meeting monthly and looking at that information. In the meantime, this article came out talking about U4, which is a synthetic version of morphine. And they interviewed Officer Arkovich. So this is the article that from WI the other day. But this has been a concern. It's commonly or affectionately known as kink. So it's odd. I've been getting a lot of questions from parents here lately saying, what is this kink thing?
What is it again?
It's a synthetic morphine.
I know, but what do they call it?
Pink. I don't know why. You know, you can call any drug anything you want. So that's been a concern to the police. Officer Arkovich was at Prevention Policy Board yesterday, so I thought since that had been a conversation in the heroin or the opioid task force and in Prevention Policy Board, I would bring along this article to just sort of apprise you of that. I only know a couple cases, but this article leads you to believe that maybe I'm not as much in the know as I thought, that there had been more, and the police are sort of paying attention to that. So that's some bad news I thought I'd bring your way. The other attachments have to do with, I'd like to remind you that you did a good thing with the e-cigarette ordinance, and so there's more evidence that it's a little harder on your respiratory system than you thought. Having said that, there was an article that came out yesterday from a study in Great Britain saying that, in fact, those people who use it as cessation and use only that seem to be doing well with that. The problem is a lot of people go back to being dual users. So in Great Britain, they have a somewhat different attitude towards this in that they don't market it to kids the way we seem to. So they've had more success in a lot of ways with e-cigarettes than we have. But just to let you know that the Health Promotion Club that sends you their regards, several of the ladies that had come to you before and had gone to the Board of Supervisors are now doing their internships, so they won't be coming to these meetings anymore, but said to say hi at lunch with a couple of them. But anyway, they are working still on working with the legislature, hoping that they will make that a state law. So
so they continue to send articles to all the legislators about every other week, reminding them that tacking this on to the Smoke Free Air Act might be a good idea. We've not really heard back from a lot of people, but we get responses saying, thank you for your input. So that's on this. And then the other articles that I brought you have to do with marijuana. We've been trying, we are working on that as well, and we've got some good news, bad news. The last time I was here, we talked about some of the research, and right after that, an article came out concerning a couple different versions of cannabidiol and how it is. We have had some really good results concerning a couple different kinds of epilepsy. So that is very hopeful. And, you know, we hope that they continue with that because that would not be a fun thing to be afflicted with. So that is the good side of that. The bad side of that is that the public continues to have this illusion that it is the end-all, be-all to everything. And so one of the articles I gave you has to do with the fact that when kids consider medicine, if there's a reduction in harm, and the more kids don't think something is harmful, the more that they use it. So we really are starting to see a spike. There was, and I don't know if I mentioned this to you before, but there's been stuff in the news about how, well, in Colorado, the use has not gone up among young people in their survey. But what they don't mention, correct me or stop me if I've told you this before, is that several of the major high schools, including the two largest high schools in Denver, did not participate in the study. So that makes it a little tricky. The other thing is, and particularly in Colorado, and this was a 60 Minutes episode not too long ago, speaks to the fact that they're seeing a lot more marijuana tested in infants because mothers are using it because they think there is no harm or they think it will relax them, which it probably will. What other article did I give you? And oh, and the other, the color one that I believe you got in your packet is what YSS and other agencies will be taking to the legislators on February 23rd when they do their Day on the Hill. The Day on the Hill for YSS, we take a lot of young people to go down and talk to their legislators. And that's been an opportunity over the years to talk about the social host law that went through a few years ago, and every year is not a different topic necessarily, but this year they're going to be concentrating on marijuana. So that's the article that will go to them, and that will be sent to all the legislators as well through my ladies, through the Health Promotion Club. And the other one that you had that I didn't make copies of was something that we found to be sort of interesting because cannabidiol is actually not is legal to be sold or to have possession of in Iowa, but you can't really sell it in Iowa. And yet, we sent you a brochure from someone in Cedar Rapids who is openly selling it and has brochure marketing it. There's another store, I believe, I want to say in Webster City, where they also sell it. So even though it is not legal, people are going ahead and doing that. I suppose under the assumption that it's going to be legal someday, so what the heck. But I think that's, I don't know, a little brazen. Not really stopping anybody. So, anyway, that's the state of that.
You know, I would recommend if someone wants to read a good overview article about marijuana and the medicinal aspects of it, there was a National Geographic article about 9 months ago that had was really well written about how many different type of chemicals there are in marijuana, and they just it's really there may be medical uses of it.
We would hope so. That many chemicals.
Oh no. And even this has not been published in a peer-reviewed article yet. So, you know, we're going to wait and see. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Always interesting. Okay. Story County Public Health.
Good afternoon. I have Keith Morgan here with me from Story County Emergency Management. I did provide you activity reports, typical reports you get both on the finance and the public health nurse report activity. If you have questions, please let me know. Otherwise, I'd like to take our few moments up here today to share with Keith as we collaborate on an item of importance to the County Board of Health, which is our role in emergency management and disaster, public health disaster planning. Should take no more than just a couple minutes. Just want to re-educate and make the board aware of some of the collaborative work that Story County Emergency Management and Story County Public Health have been and continue to be working towards centering the community as it relates to public health disasters. So why are we here today? Again,
You've seen these in the news, obviously ripped from the headlines. 24 fatalities, 12,000 homes destroyed, $2 billion in damages. That's done in Oklahoma in May of 2013. April of 2013 in Texas, 15 killed, 160 injured, 150 homes damaged. Keith did a great job of pulling then 675,000 deaths, and 700 deaths at Camp Dodge, Iowa, from January 18 to December of 20 during the outbreak of that time period, 28% infection rate. And so this embodies, obviously, public health disaster planning. And so today we wanted to just reaffirm the board, your responsibilities, how we as Story County Public Health are working with Story County Emergency Management to make sure, identify and assess gaps, and make sure that the appropriate plans are in place and have been vetted so that we can speak to the completeness, the effectiveness of our plans. And so that's what we're going to do here in the next couple of minutes, is inform on those status of our plans, policies, and level of preparedness.
Okay.
Do you want to jump in?
Sorry. Sure. Yeah. The main reason that we're here, first off, I have what we call the emergency operations plan, which has 15 different functions which we'll call upon during a disaster, bring them together to try and effect a response to a disaster. One of those emergency support functions is ESF-8, which is medical and public health. I must revise each part of the plan every 5 years. That's what sparked this interaction between myself and Kyle, is I am currently revising that section of our plan. As you are probably aware, your Story County Public Health Plan is a major part of our overall response. At my level, I look at how am I going to integrate other resources, police, law, fire, into your very specific plan dealing with the medical aspects of it. As public health and emergency management had our discussions and our collaboration, it's highlighted the need that we felt to come and have a dialogue with you so that we can review some of the roles and authorities that you as the Board of Health have, especially during public health emergencies. A little bit about emergency management. My main function is to do interjurisdictional and interdisciplinary disaster planning, preparedness, response, and recovery. I also report to a different board. It is a commission that is made up of the mayors of all of the communities within Story County, the sheriff, and one representative of the Board of Supervisors. So I am a little bit separate than the Story County administration. And as I said, I'm responsible for the emergency operations plan, which is to bring in all of the resources that might be available both here within the county and then outside of the county to coordinate a response to a disaster.
So just diving real quick, we won't spend a lot of time. Roles and authorities, just scripting this right out of the Iowa Code. Local boards of health, the jurisdiction, again, have jurisdiction over all public health matters within the county. Some of the points I pointed out there. There's one I wanted to highlight on there. Makes and enforce such reasonable rules. Again, Keith did a good job highlighting there in the bottom B as well. That may be necessary for the protection and improvement of the public health, and that would also go for during the time of emergency disaster, public health disaster. From Code 641, I'll let you read there. Again, public health and through the Board of Health responsible for safeguarding community's health through the three functions of assessment, policy development, and insurance. And as Keith has alluded to, we wanted to make sure to bring this out and start a dialogue or continue a dialogue toward meeting these functions of assessing where we're at in the process of emergency management and preparedness in our community, what policy exists and what potentially needs to be addressed if it doesn't exist, and again, in order to ultimately create that assurance in our community. And this just continues down on those same hitting the policy, the board's responsibilities within research, within enforcing the laws and regulations that protect public health. Again, all of this with a perspective on emergency management. And so, in summary, you as Board of Health, and this is not new, but you are the jurisdictional executives for Story County for public health disasters. The 2011 Story County Public Health Plan is the kind of was the first iteration of, and this is, these are parts of that plan, so you have an idea of what a plan looks like. There, that's a part. This is a part. Excuse me. So these are no small task in going through and revising these and making sure that they integrate well with what Story County Emergency Management has. The board has reviewed these in the past. They've signed off on them. But there are some gaps, and Keith has helped us identify some of those gaps. And so that's what we're currently taking on in an integrated process, is how do we address those gaps and how do we bring that back here to you, the board.
So the next steps that we would like to work on, just this morning or this afternoon, I was working on ESF 8 and going through and trying to make it work better and plug into the Story County Public Health Plan. As we do this, we need to continue to work and focus on positions and not people, because what we're looking for is to develop a structure that lasts as people move through the system. And by developing what positions we need to be able to rapidly establish what I call incident command will be very, very important. There is some detail that needs to be increased in here. The plan was has some areas that it says these actions are going to happen, but it doesn't say by whom and how it's going to happen. And another issue that both Kyle and I have discussed is a need for us to really sit down and look and clarify the roles and responsibilities of public health as a contractual agency from Mary Greeley Health, and how they will also function as your representative during a disaster. For you as the Board of Health, as jurisdictional executives, you actually have quite a bit of responsibility when we should or if we do get into an emergency. And I would encourage you to learn more about the incident command structure, because that is how we are going to react to an emergency during and bring everybody together in a structure that all of the different disciplines know. Fire, law enforcement, EMS, public works, everybody functions under incident command, and it will be very important for you as jurisdictional executives to know what that structure is. So I recommend you take these classes are available online as independent study. The first is just an introduction to incident command. The second gets a little bit more specific. And that last one, 908, really talks to you as senior executive officials as to how you'll interact with the incident command structure should we have an emergency. This should all lead to where we actually do an exercise and where we present you, the Board of Health, a situation where you have to think through how you're going to execute those code duties that you have.
So how do we access that?
I can give you the links to the specific code. I'll give them to Kyle for him to send to you in an email.
I think I would appreciate that.
As a wrap-up, you know, public, a lot of people don't understand, and that's why we showed those emergencies up front that have happened. 28% of the population being affected by a pandemic will have massive social and economic impact, both here in Story County and potentially across the United States. So we must be prepared for them. Even though the last one did occur close to 100 years ago, that doesn't mean that we're free and clear. We have to make sure that you, the Board of Health, and us as the other people that are putting together are all aware of what our responsibilities are, and that we have the mechanisms in place to deal with one of these emergencies. They can happen fairly rapidly. We are working together closely to try and enhance the planning that we have and to improve our capabilities, and we look forward to continuing to engage proactively with you and for the Board of Health to be proactive on making sure that we meet the essential needs of the citizens. So with that, we open it up to any questions that you might have.
You have all our emails.
Yep. Have you guys done, I'm sure you have, but have you done exercises in the past or even a like ICS 300 or 400 in person with like emergency?
I have taught, we taught 300 and 400. We actually did it on the weekend to make sure that it was available to the volunteers. We did it in August and November of this year.
Okay.
I'll be quite honest, we have not done a public health-centered exercise recently. There was the norovirus outbreak and some others that gave us. Ebola was another time where we started to touch upon it. And it would be good for us to work through exercises where we can do them, come back, and then improve both our plans and training so that if we did have something rapidly, it helps everybody understand the roles. For instance, in Ebola, a lot of people don't see a role for our public answering, our PSAPs, our dispatchers, but it's a critical part. Everybody's got to come together to be on the same sheet of music. And as you know, there's a lot of code, a lot of regulations that are sometimes in conflict when it comes especially to deal with healthcare emergencies.
I will say we typically exercise annually our quote-unquote pod plan. And so this is the piece of the plan that's meant to distribute the mass amount of vaccinations quickly. And so we typically collaborate with our volunteer agency, and as a means of both training the volunteers and also just kind of exercising that function. So the function within the plan is kind of what we do well. We would say that one piece we do exercise, but yeah, it keeps alluding to something full scale. That's been missing. Appreciate the time today. Thank you very much.
Right.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Those are on the FEMA website.
Well, we go through what we're supposed to know as a group.
Will that be what the exercise will do?
No, not the exercise. We're going to know what our responsibility is for the exercise.
So you're saying that we should do that?
Yeah, as a group, maybe.
Just in case you have another question.
I don't know how long you're saying.
How long are we?
The self-studies there?
The self-studies are, they'll show up to 2 hours on them. I would be surprised if it took you 2 hours to get through them. And I'll be honest, you can sit there and be doing other activities, watching TV and like that, and get the concepts from them.
I will say that I've learned the most, as you can imagine, when working with Keith in an exercising type of environment. So I think if the board were to determine what level of, you know, if you wanted to get through some level of those classes, and then we could work with Keith and find a time that would work and very minimal, but yet exercise some of what he's addressing when something would happen. And what's your favorite one? Quarantine order is needs to be executed. What happened? So those are good.
Good to know.
Yeah, exactly. Good things, good questions, and good opportunity to talk to them.
You know, I think we should really all try to go through those, you know, those online self-learning. And then I think that would be a good idea, because you're right, we will have responsibilities as a Board of Health.
And even if you've been through them, it's good to refresh. The vocabulary is pretty...
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you've already...
And if you haven't done it for a while, I did a lot of this when in my position at the state, when I worked as a foodborne epidemiologist, and I'm trained in those, but I go back and take them every couple of years just to refresh. If you aren't taking part in an exercise or an actual emergency, it's really easy to forget how the system works.
And what that does is it gives that framework of how the team will be operating then in that environment. So it says this is how this will be structuring, how orders will be executed, how the line of authority is going to be able to tell them.
So we have homework.
We have
homework. Okay. We have CME.
We'll work on that.
CEUs, yeah. We can't get some of those. But in the future, if you'd like to, we call them a workshop where the workshop might be just taking those slides with the code in there and then saying, okay, what does that mean to you as jurisdictional executives? And we can throw out very rudimentary issues and say, how would you do this? How would you do that? And some of it, as we work through this, some of your part is to think through what ordinances, it does allow you to craft ordinances if you need to make sure you have powers when the time comes. But as you know, trying to craft and pass those ordinances during the emergency may not be quick enough. So it might give you pause for thought to see what do you need to have available to you during a disaster or an emergency.
I think it would be great if we could get involved in, I know building those relationships prior to the emergency is huge, with who you're going to be working with and the different departments and what everyone's roles are, and understanding that is, in my experience, been an enormous help when the time comes to have to do something.
Okay. Thank you. Great. Well, thank you very much, and I'll look forward to getting that email, and I'm going to try to work on it. Okay, sure. All right. Okay. Anything else for Surrey County Public Health? Nope. Okay. So, Environmental Health Department fee schedule. Can you identify yourself? I'm just kidding. But the minutes.
You got me. I almost did it.
The minutes are being recorded, correct?
Yes. Margaret with Environmental Health.
I didn't forget.
Okay. So, I'm just following the format that I usually do. Marty, you've already seen this, so if you need to get going, I will not be insulted. Septics, it's been kind of slow. We're catching up still on diagrams and diagrams. I'm still working on a few permits, issuing them. It's getting busier. The calls are starting to come in, walk-ins, and we've had a couple applications already. They want me to go out and do site reviews already. I can only do that if someone comes out with their backhoe. I did one earlier this week, and it's doable with the backhoe, but not probing along. So for wells, for fiscal year 2017, we've done 21 well permits, 14 of them being geothermal, 21 pluggings, 4 cisterns, 4 rehabs, 91 samples, and then included in those are the 32 time of transfer water inspections and sampling. For grants to counties, we've already spent $23,000, so that leaves us around $3,000 right now. As Dr. Passion knows, we will be getting a little more than $9,000 given to us as a grant in February, which is really nice because we are $3,000 doesn't leave us much. What I plan to do with that extra squirt of money is do a little more arsenic testing, because our numbers, while we haven't seen a lot of arsenic problems, we haven't done a lot of testing. And when the state puts up all the counties on the board, Story County doesn't look like we've done a lot of sampling. Some of it we've done a long time ago, and it didn't count in those numbers. But we just need to get our numbers up there a little bit better and be represented a little bit better.
You know, speaking of testing and soil testing, the Bacon Pipeline goes through a corner of Story County.
Yes.
Right? Would it be unreasonable for us to take some soil samples now and either a core to save or just see what's in there? Because if there are issues that come up in 5 years, we'll know where it started. Would that be a reasonable thing to do?
Actually not. That would be... Plus... They would evaporate off any oils, so it wouldn't be, well, okay. So it doesn't go through just the corner. It goes through a pretty good length all the way across the county, actually. And then it would be a pretty massive undertaking to sample. And then you'd also have to go pretty deep in some places. The most important areas being on the waterways there, and they obviously go under. So I just don't know how practical that would be or how it would stand up in court if we ever had to go that route. I'm thinking that if there were spills, it'll be obvious at that time, and we wouldn't really need to prove that it was didn't exist before. That's what I'm thinking. But, you know, good thinking, good idea.
No, but it's just a thought.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand. Okay.
Pools, tattoo, and tanning programs. Matt has started in. You like that one, don't you? Matt has started in on the pool inspections. We've done six so far. He had to close down Fairfield already. They didn't have a pool operator, and their grate was broken. And that's really important. It's cracked. That's really important. That could be very dangerous. The grate's on the bottom of the pool. Let's see, and Kathy started doing the tanning facilities, tattoos. We wait till a little bit later to do them. And then one written exam was administered for a gal that works at a tanning facility, one of the supers. For enforcement, what we've been focusing on this just recently, and Kathy was in charge of this, was sending out reminders for the mechanical system maintenance contracts. We currently have 65 is the final count. So any of these fancy type systems, they need to have maintenance contracts for the life of the system. And it's the responsibility of the homeowner to have this, and then also to send proof of that to our department. They run around $250 a year, thereabouts, Kathy? Yeah. People don't like to pay that, but it's what they have to do.
So what is this for?
I'm sorry. This is okay. This is a septic. This is the septic system, the secondary. So if your soil is not good enough to treat the effluent, then we go this route. It's a lot more expensive, and because there's maintenance involved, if that maintenance doesn't happen, they will go bad. Okay, so that's why we have to. It's mandatory, and so. Most of them now, about 25 of them are Advantex. That requires power, about 25 of them are the cocoa peat ones. They're putting in cocoa now instead of peat. It's more of a renewable resource, a little cheaper, takes less space, and more effective. Multiflows, we do not allow them to go in anymore. We've seen really bad results with them. Mark can speak to that. Compliance, Kathy, where are we at with that?
Well, we sent out postcards last Friday, and so this week I've got the response. We had about 40 people that we didn't know what their status was, if they had a contract in place. And I've got about 10 calls so far this week. And it turns out pretty much everybody does have a contract, but we haven't yet to pay for it. Verify it. So I'm hoping that it continues in that vein.
Good. Okay.
And I'm giving them 2 weeks to have that contract in place before we do any notices of violation.
Good. And then the companies train their contractors on how to do this. So there's not just anybody can do a maintenance contract. So for meetings, Kathy and I both attended the IOWWA conference, which is septic system stuff, and then also the DNR annual meeting. And they went over things like asbestos. They had a gal in who talked to us about lead, a guy from the regional EPA office, and he was on. It was kind of interesting to hear the political take on how what they can enforce and what they can't at this point. So it was an interesting meeting. Miscellaneous items that we're doing. We talked about Crestview Mobile Home Park already. I will talk a little bit about burning in a minute here. The Catholic Church in Nevada here, they did have it inspected and found asbestos, so they have to get their professionals in to remove the asbestos before they can demolish that house. That was the one that we had a complaint on about rodents and this and that. So they will have that removed within a couple weeks. So I'm really happy with their response on that. They've been good to work with. I've been involved in the Cameron Estates 1, 2, and 3, working with planning on reviewing all of those subdivision things that It keeps going back and forth. Irons, Iron Bridge, reviews are all being done. The Ames Golf and Country Club mound, that was destroyed by Bella Holmes. And so I keep checking on them to make sure that they're not overflowing their tank, because all of that has to be pumped, and they truck it down to Des Moines because the Ames plant is too expensive. They cannot landify it because it is basically a holding tank. It's too fresh. It hasn't broken down. It also has to go to a treatment plant, not landify. DNR found an old memo or an old brochure and then decided to enforce it. They will no longer allow land application of fog, which is the fat, oil, and grease from septic systems. And again, that is going to have to be hauled down to Des Moines because the Ames treatment plant is too expensive to take that. I'll have to work with them a little bit. Things coming up, the city of Nevada is working on plans. About 5 to 7 years from now, they will be building a new wastewater treatment plant south of town here, close to the Indian Creek. And I've talked to them and asked them if they consider having something that they could accept the fog, so that we don't have to be running it all the time. January was radon awareness month. 36 kits were distributed. We hand out free up to 50 free kits every January, just to kind of get the word out there. Had one with an 11, so that 4 is the worry level. So with an 11, so if that's one family that we helped out, that's way cool.
That's naturally occurring here in Iowa, isn't it, though?
Oh, yes. Iowa is very bad. Every county is a red.
Brag about Iowa nice and Iowa this and Iowa that, but radon is also something that we have bragging rights to, I understand.
We have bragging rights, you're right. And then just to go back, these are photos taken at Crestview right before the end of the year, and he claimed
that...
There's the rest of the story.
Trailer park.
Just wait for this. Go ahead, Margaret. What was your suspicion? The story that you just told us
today. So I came around the back way, and he didn't know I was there. So I went and took pictures through the bushes. That's what you're seeing there, yeah. And then, and mud up to my navel, I'll tell you.
Mark, I think. Here, here.
Then I went and I took pictures, and indeed, he was burning trailer parks that he's, you know, we all know, he's got a lot of trailer stuff to burn. So then I went around and talked to him. He claimed it was just branches, just brush that he was burning. And I said, no, I just saw that with my eyes, and I know that you're not just burning branches. And so he quit. I told him he had to stop, and he did. So I had to give a presentation to the Board of Supervisors today, and they asked, you know, well, should we be citing him? And next time, yes, we will. So what I really need to do is carry around a written citation with all the right stuff with me, so that every time I see him burning, he would get that. And then there would be a fine involved in that. Is that a good direction?
Yeah,
I think it is.
Supervisors are looking for some direction from this board, because we would be in deference to, if you guys want to put some teeth into what Margaret does in this particular place, we would be willing to take that up. But once again, if this board so move in that sense, that and give it to the Board of Supervisors, we will direct Margaret that there's no more slaps on the wrist in this sense. And I think this is why I spoke to the turning him loose on the burn, because I've just seen this in the last several hours, that he is going to do, you know, sadly enough, and I wish, you know, he can make some pretty powerful presentations in his manner, but I think that he has a way of doing things that doesn't meet with the public good. Mm-hmm. And Margaret represented us, and you didn't say it here, that you had the suspicion there might be some asbestos being burned.
Yes, I was going to mention that. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, asbestos is what you need to worry about. I did see insulation in and close by to that fire, so most probably asbestos. Tiles.
Yeah. You know, I would agree with that. I think you do have to start laying out fines, and I think, to be fair, he needs to be told. do this stuff again, you're going to get a fine. Okay? And I see you burning. You're going to get a fine. And do you have that power to
yes.
do that?
Yes. Illegal burning.
We're just looking for the direction from this. We're, right. You're advising consent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're looking for your advice and consent. And the thing is, if this is what the Board of Health gives the Board of Supervisors, we in turn, on a responsive agency as Margaret's department, would turn to her and say, this is what the Board of Health wants us to do. It's that simple path to walk. It can be done. It just has to come from this desk.
I will say these pictures are a little... I don't want people to misunderstand. People are not living in those trailers. They're vacant. So the fire isn't like right next to someone living there. They're vacant. But it's still very bad. Yes, it's still very bad.
It's just, in fact, if your suspicion is true, that gives it that much more weight that you've got to be interventive on this. I mean, there are just some things that are just not acceptable. Mm-hmm. That's one guy's opinion.
Is this motion strictly
is this
towards
more of an
illegal burning, or
no,
just in general?
To instruct Margaret to start putting out citations.
You have it listed.
Violations.
I would move that we begin issuing citations for any further violations at the Crestview Mobile Home Park.
Of burning.
Yeah.
Well, or anything else? I mean, does it have to be in regards to burning?
No,
or?
There's other things going on.
I think Matt could probably speak to this as well as anybody, that how many times have you gone out there and asked to not see this again, to turn around and go out there and see it again? I guess I would probably amend the motion to reflect the fact that you would ask that the Board of Supervisors direct Margaret and her staff to the forbearance that has been shown in the year plus of dealing with it for this board's purview. Would stop. Mm-hmm.
We have to
be careful to
apply the law and enforcement across the board.
There you go. That's the motion that we need. Not just hurting across the board. And I'd like to second that motion. Okay.
We have a motion in a second.
Right. Yes. So, any further discussion? So, the motion stands that we are in favor of directing Margaret to start issuing citations for illegal
burning
or any other environmental
violations of the code.
Illegal activity period, right? Illegal activity period.
Well, she can't do that for mad lives, but for under her
jurisdiction.
Yeah. Okay.
I think you're better off just off the cuff mentioning that you don't have an action item for.
We have moved out of the action item per se because we were at 4.4.
Well, we can
do
that.
Something that she's wrong
that I can do.
Okay. All right. So what you're saying is you just need our blessing to do it.
Yes, sir.
That the expectation of this board would be that you would like to see her department cease with the forbearance of her department, Matt. Margaret, the fact that a year plus is ample time to give, that the rules of the road have been clearly established, I think you have done a pretty good job of laying out the rationales to the what and the why. Now, if you were going to adopt them and act upon them, I think you'd be seeing it, not what you just looked up there and watched. Over a year later.
Okay. So, I think what you're hearing from us is start giving them tickets.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then let him make sure that he is aware. And this is one of the reasons I want him at these meetings.
Okay.
I mean, he needs to. This has been a continuous, and I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon.
Okay. I'll write him a letter. That way, he's got it.
So he understands.
Okay. I think that's a good idea.
Well, I don't think we need to. That's what I'm hearing.
We don't have it as it's formatted in the agenda right now. The point that we're speaking to doesn't have the ability to offer up a vote. I think it's a census of the board. It's just that our.
You should do your job.
Yeah.
There you go.
And we will honor that.
If you sound with citations, we want you to start giving citations.
And the Board of Supervisors will honor your wishes. So.
Be okay with that. Okay.
I would step away at this point. Thank you for your forbearance. Okay. Thank you for flipping the meeting for me, and we'll meet you back here.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, Marty.
Okay, so, okay.
Any questions?
Yeah, what's this thing about consideration of the Environmental Health Department fee schedule?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was 4-3.
I'm sorry. I'm not recommending any changes, but I'm open to ideas if you all want changes on the fee schedule. The full statute tanning is set by the state, and then the septic ones are $240 for permit and site review, or $140 for just the permit. Let's see, well is $150. That includes the DNR collection. Section's $50. You're fine with that?
I mean, really, if you're okay with it, I am.
Yeah, you know, talking to other counties, we're right in there.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good.
I have a question.
Okay.
Where are we at on these vacated trailers at Crestview? These abandoned ones that are all over the place out there.
Yeah.
There are rat holes everywhere.
Yeah. I will say they're a little more organized now. they are working with the treasurer to still get that squared away.
They collected any taxes on
them? He comes in on occasion and pays some taxes.
My other question is, what about the lagoon system that the DNR is...
That picture that I sent you guys? Yes. Matt saw that they had made that correction. They did not make the... they did the Band-Aid approach with one of those hoses that's just attached with us, you know. So DNR is responsible for that lagoon system, so they will work with him on getting it fixed. Yet. But for now, it's looking way better. It's not leaking like it was.
Anything else, Margaret? Okay.
Thank you
very much. Okay. Now we're going back to 5 for additional items, and we have 4 additional items to talk about. We can talk about them individually or together. There are those 4 documents that you got. One was drug-free workplace, a drug and alcohol testing policy. The other one was consideration of violence in the workplace policy, and then distracted driving policy that had to do with the makeup, and driving license and insurance coverage verification policy. Okay, so, you know, they all look fine to me. Anyone have any comments or questions?
I read that through them.
Okay. Okay, so I think we may move to approval.
I move to approve do I need to read them off individually? Drug-free workplace, drug and alcohol testing policy, the violence in the workplace policy, distracted driving policy, and the driver's license and insurance policy.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay. Very good. And now, any comments from anything else on the additional items? Nope. So now we're down to comments. Any comments from the staff that are present? Nope. Okay.
Some comments. Talk on this one.
The fee schedule that we talked about, do we have to approve that at all, like formally?
Schedule?
The fee schedule we just talked about,
do we
have to approve that?
Changing
that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Any comments from the board? Okay. I have just one slight comment. I think that the issues with Crestview are going to continue on. And I think we're going to have to just address things all the time. And it's going to be a big part of what we're going to do. Okay. And so I think that we need to kind of make sure that Mr. Lemire knows, and I remember mentioning something to him at one of our other meetings, that we expect him to be here at the meetings, and so I do expect him to. Okay? Mark?
Nothing
to say? No. Okay. So, and if there's no objections, I will...
Should we have a letter to him? I'll write this for him. So we know he didn't.
Good idea. Very good idea. Okay. Great. Anything else? Okay. And I'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone.